All right, well, I'm starting a new, you gotta have the other part too. Oh, you got it? Okay, thanks. Yeah, the other thing that slips into my computer, so. Yeah, I have to have both. The whole pack, if you will. Thank you. I can start without it, though. Watch. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? I can survive. All right. So I'm starting a new series today, and my teaser last week was I told you nothing about it. So that's supposed to pique your curiosity going, I wonder what it's going to be about. I better go, because who knows what it might be about. It might pertain to me. Well, guess what? I believe that all the messages that are spoken in the anointing of God or in the will of God, thank you very much, darling, will have something for you. Whether you think so or not, the Spirit of God personalizes and speaks stuff to your mind and your heart, and I trust that's going to happen today as well. But I've entitled the series, Christ in You, and have entitled today's message, Christ in You. How about that? But I want to share with you kind of where I got initiated with this. The Dream and Steam team that's been working together on, again, attempting to increase in our effectiveness of reaching, ministering to, and maturing a group of people larger than what we are. You know, we've been talking about a number of 300. One of the assignments that we had, we've been going through some stuff just for leadership, you know, how we can be challenged in our own ministry and our own personal lives. And we did a devotional along with a DVD from Francis Chan. And he was, you know, challenging us about our carrying out the commission that Jesus gave, the Great Commission. And if you want to, we'll look at that from Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 through 20. And we had a homework assignment, a devotional to do, to go through and to answer some questions regarding this as well as some other things. And we were encouraged to read through this and to see what it was that spoke to us, you know, something, a very familiar passage of Scripture, but see what it was that spoke to us as we did this. And so I'm going to share personally what happened with me. But so, again, this is a great commission. Jesus says in Matthew 28, starting with verse 18, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Let me start with the first part of the verse. Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. As I read through that, the thing that really jumped out to me, it wasn't new revelation or anything, but what really jumped out to me was where Jesus said, I am with you always. So in other words, he gave a specific command or a commission to his disciples, and then he says, you know what? You're not going to have to do it on your own. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to make it possible for you to do it. I'm going to enable you to do what I've called you to do. And it just, as I started contemplating that, well, let me give you the notes here. First of all, he said to go and make disciples of nations. I think probably all of us have heard enough now to know that nations aren't just physical boundaries or borders of certain countries. That nations really are ethos or ethnicities or groups of people of different cultures and languages and race and things like that. And so we have nations in our neighborhood, people. We have nations right among us. And so it's not like, okay, we have to go to a different country. It's awesome when God calls to do that. But we don't have to go to a different country to reach nations. The point of this is Jesus said, go and make disciples. He didn't just say, make converts. There's a difference between converts and disciples. And this is a part of discipling when he says, teach them to obey all the commands I've given you. Teach them to obey the commands. And then he says this, be sure of this, I am with you always. And the first thing that came to mind, okay, what does that mean when Jesus says, I am with you? I mean, we know that he's going to as it says in Scripture, depart and go to heaven, ascend to the Father, but yet he's saying to his disciples, I'm always going to be with you. So what does that mean? And when he says, I'm going to be with you, okay, does that mean he's going to be there just to encourage me on? Keep going, keep going, keep going. I'm here with you. What does it mean when he says, I'm going to be with you? And that's kind of where we're going to explore in this series of Christ in you. And the other thing that hit me is this commission that was given by Jesus, we've adopted it as part of the mission and purpose of Praise Fellowship Church when we say, you know, our mission and purpose is to love God and people too and to make followers of Jesus. The first part coming from the Great Commandment where the scripture Jesus said, this is the greatest commandment, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And he said, the second is like the first, and that is you love your neighbor as yourself. So loving God and people too. And then the Great Commission where Jesus said, go and make disciples or teach them to obey all that I have taught you or to make them to be followers of Jesus. That's the other part of our purpose. But, here it is. The Lord, the commission of the Lord is the most prestigious thing that anyone could be assigned to do. The most important thing in all the earth. I mean, you think about, well, if I was assigned to be or elected to be the president of the United States, compares nothing to what Jesus commissioned his disciples to do. I mean, this is talking eternity. This is talking about for eternal purposes. There is such a significant difference between that which is temporary and that which is permanent or eternal. These nations, this world, this earth is simply temporary, people. You can rise to such a position of power in this world that you could in this earth, that you could rule the whole earth and it would still be a temporal thing. It wouldn't have near the significance of the eternal where Jesus says, go and make disciples. So what a prestigious honor that he has given to those who would be followers of his. And yet the question comes up to me, why is it that we're so reluctant to do it? Why is it that we, maybe I'm speaking for myself more than you, but why is it that we fail so miserably to make disciples, to lead people to Christ and to make disciples? What is it about it? Such an important thing. And I think part of the reason why is that we're forgetting that he's doing it with us. And we knock ourselves down to say, I'm not equipped enough to do it. Or I just don't have the stuff. I don't have the gifting. I don't have whatever it is that we come up with our reason. What we're doing is we're forgetting this vital part where he said, I'll be with you. And we're going to see what it means when he says, I'll be with you. See what it means when it talks about him having equipped us. As I shared, this part of this verse, when we were going through this personally, it came out to me so much. And then just a whole flood of scriptures that I will be using over the weeks to come. Just a flood of scriptures started coming to me talking about how it is not us. It's the Lord in us. It's the Lord doing the work through us. But again, I think that we end up giving up or quitting or disqualifying ourselves by saying, I don't have the stuff to do it. And we're denying the power of the Lord in us. We're denying the commission that he gave when he said, I'll be with you always. So there's some reason, and we have to sort that out. Why is it that I've chosen not to be effective in this kind of reaching other people? I get happy with my relationship with the Lord. I'm satisfied with that, and I'm pacified. I'm pacified. That's a problem. Okay, so what I want you to see, I want to make a correlation here. This display on the screen right now is an atomic bomb, a nuclear bomb. And it has lots of power in it, within it, to have a huge impact. What I want you to see is that we are not the source of power, but we are the mechanism of delivery. And so it's like we encase the power, that we're the delivery system, we're the little propeller on the back end, to get to where it needs to go for that explosion to happen, the nuclear blast to happen. Now, you might think, wow, a nuclear bomb going off, that's so destructive. Are you saying we're going to be destructive? No. But when the Bible even uses the word, when it says the word power, it uses the word that we use in English for dynamite. The Greek word is dunamis or dunamis, and it's what we use for dynamite. So just think of not necessarily a destructive force, but a force that's going to impact everything around it. And that's what we're to be like. We don't have the source of power. And again, I think that's the problem. People go, well, I'm not going to have much impact. Right, you're not. But you can be the mechanism of deliverance for the impact to happen wherever it needs to happen. You house that atomic energy, and you take it, and boom, here it's displayed or impacts this person's life. Boom, it impacts this person's life. As I had mentioned to you, about my dad and I going and to take care of some business and coming across this individual, and she started to share the things that were stressing her and her life and all these situations that were going on. And I said, you know what, can I pray with you? Yes! I mean, she was just glad to have that kind of impact in her life. And it wasn't like I felt this energy on the inside. It's just, I'm just here to deliver whatever the Lord would desire to do for you. So that is like we need to get more conscious of those kinds of things rather than, well, I'll share what happens with us. But anyway, so let's talk about Jesus with you, Christ in you, Jesus with you. When he said, I'm going to be with you, let's talk about what that means. First of all, just the name Jesus Christ. I want to point out a couple of things here, first of all. Jesus comes from the Greek word Joshua or Yeshua, and it means Jehovah our Savior. Now, to me, Jesus seems much more personal than Christ. There's a difference in the way that you use that in his name, Jesus Christ. But I remember attending a gathering of pastors here many years ago, Dodge Center Ministerial Association, and one of the pastors was closing out with prayer. And as he did, he closed his prayer and he said, in the name of the Christ, amen. I go, the name of the Christ. To me, it's just like, wow, that's impersonal. How about Jesus? he's my brother. Let's call him Jesus. And I was probably just a little off in my attitude or whatever. But it was like, you realize too that what's the most offensive name when people are disturbed about you being exclusive? Okay, go ahead and pray to God, right? Praying to God's fine. Or I think even to the Christ would be okay, but you use his name Jesus, and people start to get real uncomfortable. Now you're getting really exclusive. Jesus? Okay? And so, but it is real personal, and I think, Jesus said to pray in his name. Now it's not wrong to say the Christ. When Jesus said, whom do you say that I am to his disciples, Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, wow, God revealed that to you. It wasn't a man that revealed that. God revealed that to you. So there's nothing wrong with that, but there's a difference here. And I'm saying Jesus is personal. But there's a purpose for the use of the word Christ. Christ means the anointing or the anointed one. And so when we're talking about, the scripture says, I'm not going to deny the scripture. The scripture says, we'll see it in Colossians. Actually, you can turn there right now. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 25 through 7, it uses this phrase, Christ in you. So I think there's a reason for that it's not just Jesus in you. I like the phrase Jesus in you because to me that seems real personal. Jesus said, I will be with you. So, I can say, hey, Jesus is with you or Jesus is in you. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is significance to the term Christ when we understand what Christ means as the anointing or the anointed one. So, again, I have this problem of finding my scripture when I keep talking. So, Colossians 1, and starting with verse 25 through 27. God has given me the responsibility of serving his church by proclaiming his entire message to you. This message was kept secret for centuries and generations past, but now it has been revealed to God's people, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you assurance of sharing his glory. Christ lives in you. It says again, this message was kept secret, the mystery. It's called the mystery. The mystery was Christ in you. A New American Standard says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Or Christ in you, Christ lives in you, the assurance of sharing his glory. Now, glory is another whole term that we'll get into as we talk about this, the glory of the Lord. But that's to be defined at another time. Next week, I believe, Lord willing, we'll get into the term of glory. However, those of you who are students in the Accurate Handlers class, I'm going to give you an opportunity for some extra credit here, even before the class starts. So pay attention closely. In your Vines Expository Dictionary, look up the word glory. Now, if you can tell me before class starts, before we get into it, if you can tell me what the word doxology means, you'll get 5 points extra credit. Okay, but enough.
They can pick up their books.
Yes, your books are available anytime. They're in my office. Huh? Okay, yeah, I can give you the spelling. It's right in there, but okay, doxology. Doxology. It's like Canada. Canada. That's how the Canadians learned how to spell Canada. Canada. A. Naughty me. Okay. At least it wasn't another Iowa joke. Linda, you weren't here the time I talked about the Iowa farmers throwing dynamite over the border at the Minnesota farmers. And the Minnesota farmers lit the fuse and threw it back. Sorry. Wow. I might have deserved that. but can we distinguish, okay, those were not the Lord's words, and so if I continue to speak, can I speak as for the Lord so I won't still be considered a liar? You know, I want you guys to believe part of this message anyway. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. That was bad. Okay, so glory is to be defined at another time, but again, we're talking about the anointing when it says Christ in you, the hope of glory. The anointing in you, the assurance of sharing his glory. Now, here's something. I'm just going to touch on this. Just a little bit of a teaser. You know, oftentimes we say, all glory to God. Just glory to God, glory to God, glory. I'm not going to receive any glory for myself. Well, this talks about you sharing in his glory. What does that mean? Come next week. You'll find out. Okay, so we're talking about the anointing in you. Jesus used the phrase, I will be with you. And I want you to turn to John chapter 14, and we're going to see how it is that Jesus is with us. John 14, 15 through 17. John 14, 15 through 17. Okay, it says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Jesus said, I need to read verse 18 too. When he says, no, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. So again, as Jesus is describing to his disciples, and this is coming close to his time of departure, his time of his death, his crucifixion, his resurrection, and his ascension to the Lord. He's saying to them that there's someone that's going to come and be with you. I will not leave you. I'm not going to abandon you, he said. And then he goes to say that the Father will send another advocate. It's important for us to distinguish that word another and what he's meaning when he says that. There are two Greek words that are used to translate into our English word another. One of them is the Greek word allos, which means a numerical difference and denotes another of the same sort. Okay, so it's going to be like the same, but another one, a numerical difference. That is compared to the Greek word heteros, which means a qualitative difference of another of a different sort. Okay, you know, one way that we could, you know, make an easy connection with this word heteros is in the word heterosexual means another of a different sort. Male, female, heteros, heterosexual, male, female, another of a different sort. So we can see the comparison there and easily understand it. But when Jesus is saying, I'm going to send you, or the Father will send you another advocate, he's saying, it's one just like me. That's how he is with us. That's how he is going to continue to remain with his disciples, even though he's going to ascend to the Father. He said, when I go, he will send you another, one of the same sort, just like Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus, in fact. And so he lives with you and will be in you. He lives with you and will be in you. Now I want you to flip a page to John 16 and verse 7. And Jesus said, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. So again, best for Jesus to go and for the advocate to come. New American Standard says it's to your advantage that I go away, because then the Spirit or the advocate, the Comforter, will come. And so it's and what we're thinking about, or what we're talking about here, is when Jesus says, I will be with you and I will be in you, he will be with you and he will be in you, is what Jesus is saying to them. The difference is like the difference between the flesh and the spirit. Jesus was here in the flesh and he could only be at one place at one time. He was limited to the flesh. But the Spirit of God is not limited by the flesh. He can be in all of us all the time, wherever we go. In you. Not just with you in a physical place, a physical setting, but in you. And that's why Jesus said it's better, it's best if I go. Because if I don't go, he won't come. But if I go, he will come. The Father will send him. And he will be in you. Okay. Then look at Luke chapter 24. And we'll find out exactly, we're going back to that commission, and we'll find out what it is that Jesus is saying about this, the necessity of this another advocate in us. Luke 24, 47 through 49. I'll just read 47 and 48 first of all. It says, it was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sin for all who repent. That's the message of the gospel. There is forgiveness of sin for all who repent. You are witnesses of these things. So again, Jesus is saying to his disciples, this message is going to be proclaimed with authority. Let's talk about that authority just a little bit. When the first passage that we read, when Jesus gave the Great Commission, he said, all authority has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. And then he tells them to go. What he's saying is, you go in my authority, the authority that's been given to me. You go with that authority. We have been given a position of authority. And it's like we have been made part of Jesus' posse. And that's not just, you know, culturally relevant language. It's, you know, when you become a part of the posse, you've been given authority to help maintain control or to help do the job that's needed to be done. So we have been posseified. Everyone say posseified. See, we're not pacified. We're posseified. We'd be down with Jesus. We're part of his posse. He's made us part of... What? With an accent? Okay, so we're posseified. Not pacified, we're posseified. We're part of his posse because we've been given his authority. So how awesome is that? And he said, you will preach, or this is the message, forgiveness of sin for all who repent. For all who repent, that's the message. The message with authority. And he says, you are witnesses of these things. You're witnesses of these things. But then Jesus says, hold on, wait. Verse 49, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in this city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power, dunamis, dynamite, boom, nuclear, boom, power from heaven. You're going to have a huge impact, but and you're going to be witnesses of these things with the authority. You've been made part of my posse. You've been given my authority. You're going to go and you're going to share this simple message. There's forgiveness of sins for those who repent. You're going to share that with my authority. But now wait, because you can't do it on your own. You can't do it on your own. You're not going to do it on your own. You got to wait for the power. Wait for the Holy Spirit, the power from heaven. So you can't just be a delivery system without having that, you know, weapon-grade uranium or whatever it is in there to make that nuclear fission, that huge impact, that huge explosion, or the dunamis, the dynamite, the power of the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit. So what is Jesus actually saying to them? Have you ever heard the term going off half-cocked? Okay, that term comes from, there's a position on some guns where you half-cock it and it's supposed to hold the trigger and hold the hammer from hitting, you know, the bullet in an untimely fashion, and, you know, it's to be able to, you know, change out bullets in the cylinder or whatever. You know, there's different uses for it being half-cocked. Someone who knows a whole lot more about guns and hunting could explain it. Paul, you want to come up and tell us what it's all about? I'm just giving my limited information, but the reason why it became a phrase that's used going off half-cocked is they were unreliable for not tripping and hammering, firing, when it was not like you were ready to have that happen. And so, you know, the term that we've used, you know, going off half-cocked is like going off and doing things or saying things, you know, before you've really properly planned it, or, you know, half-cocked is like, and so what Jesus is saying is, don't go off half-cocked. Don't go off trying to deliver this without the power of the Spirit of God. That's what's going to make the difference. And so when we're talking about, okay, this awesome, prestigious position and message that the Lord has given us as His witnesses, He's saying, you've got to have the power to do it. If you're going to be the delivery system, don't go off without the nuclear power that what will really make the impact. And so that is the Spirit of God, and that is how Jesus is with us. Christ, the anointing in you. That's what's going to make the difference. So let's talk about His power in us. Turn to Ephesians chapter 3, 20 through 21. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. We'll get used to what, you know, that word glory and what it means when I share some more about that. But everyone say, oh, glory.
Oh, glory.
I'm coming next week to hear about glory. To get glory. To be glorious. To glorify my Lord. Oh, glory.
Oh, glory.
All right. The anointment. Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. Now all glory, there it is again, all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so first of all, let's answer the question, who is able? God is able. How? Through His mighty power. Whose power is it? See, it has nothing to do with you. You're the delivery mechanism. You're not the power source. And so many times we disqualify ourselves saying, I don't have it in me. All you got to have in you is the Spirit of God. He is the source of power. He is able through His mighty power at work where? Among the preachers, among the ordained ministers, among those that are, you know, are called to the ministry to be a servant of the Lord, not just me. No. According to the power that works within us. Everyone say us.
Us.
Say, I'm an us.
I'm an us.
Okay, you're included. So, according to his power that works in us. And what's going to be accomplished?
More.
More. More. I'll read the Amplified to you. I got it here on the screen. It says, now to him who by, in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. People, that's not your power, that's his power. So what are we doing saying, oh, you know, I don't think I can do that? You're right, you can't. Good thing you've got that figured out. Now let him do it through you. You be the deliverance mechanism. Let him do the explosion through you. And see, what we do is we hold back the triggering. We go, oh, I don't think it can happen. And in doing that, we prevent that whatever it is that goes down and goes boom, boom. The Lord's power. We're sitting there saying, I don't think I'll pull the trigger. I don't think the trigger should go. I'm afraid of what might happen. I'm afraid there won't be a really big impact if I do pray, so yeah, I'm not even going to pray. I'm not going to offer because, I've prayed for people before and nothing happens. So, we just say, okay, separate the trigger from the uranium. Separate the, you know, we're not going to have a nuclear explosion. All we're going to have is a little thing flying around, propelled by this little propeller as we walk through our daily life doing nothing for the Lord. That's not what God's called us to do. When he gave that great commission, it's the most awesome thing, and we're afraid to do it. Why? It's him in us. We've got to get a lot more confident about him, Christ in us, the anointing in us, and that confidence then will enable us to do what he's called us to do. Not enable us to do, enable him to do it through us. We're just the little container that takes that source of power. And then it's way beyond what we can even imagine happening. We've got to open ourselves up to let that explosion happen from out from us. Okay, I'm going to conclude with this passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And verses 1 through 6. And we'll see where our confidence ought to come from. 2 Corinthians 3, first I'll read just verses 1 through 3. Are we beginning to praise ourselves again? Are we like others who need to bring you letters of recommendation or who ask you to write such letters on their behalf? Surely not. The only letter of recommendation we need is you yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ showing the result of our ministry among you. This letter is not written with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is carved not on tablets of stone, but on human hearts. I'm trying to communicate something here. The first part, this is setting up for the next part, but the first part here is, says, you are a letter from Christ. Everyone reads it. Everyone reads the letter of your life, okay? And he says, this is a result of our ministry among you. And then he's going to talk about the confidence that they have, why it is that they're able to have an effect on people's lives. And it ought to be that same confidence that we have. Verse 4, we are confident of all of this because our great trust because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we are qualified to do anything on our own. Our qualification comes from God. He has enabled us to be ministers of his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old covenant ends in death, but under the new covenant, the Spirit gives life. So what he's saying here again is that our confidence becomes as a result of our great trust in the Lord. It's not our great trust in how much of the Bible we've memorized. how much of the scriptures we need to know in order to lead someone to Christ, how much we've prayed for, you know, during the day or whatever. Our confidence is because of our great trust in God. It's God is able to do exceeding abundantly. God is able in us. God is able. Our great confidence is in our great trust in God. We are enabled then, because of God's power in us, enabled to be ministers of this new covenant. So he is the one that gives us the ability. We are enabled. Okay, so here's the difference, people. Jesus is da bomb. Everyone say da bomb. Jesus is da bomb, and we need to allow da bomb to blow. Okay? We are the ones, we need to deliver da bomb. Jesus is da bomb. Say Jesus is da bomb. Now you go and deliver the bomb. Say, deliver the bomb. Okay, and then this is what happens. When we deliver the bomb, there's a huge impact that takes place in people's lives. It's him in us. It's not just us going, it's him in us going, boom, having an impact on people's lives. Yes. Whoop. Okay. I'm just reading you the last part. You got it in your notes too. You house the power and the authority. Remember, you're pacified. Everyone say pacified. I like creating new words. Anyway, you house the power and the authority. God's not looking for your ability. You've heard this before, haven't you? He's not looking for your ability. What's he looking for?
Availability.
Okay, it's just you delivering the bomb. And his trust, we're to trust in his ability in us. Our confidence is in our great trust in God. He is able in us, to do it within us. Hallelujah. So don't suppress the ignition of the bomb. Don't suppress that. And you'll feel that. I tell you what, you'll feel that trigger ready to go. When you come in contact with someone and you might know it by the Spirit or they may speak it naturally. It doesn't matter either way. You'll sense that God wants to do something here. God wants to do something here. Don't sit there and go, oh, I don't want to set off a trigger. I don't know what kind of explosion might happen. It might be bigger than what I want to happen. It might, you know, whatever. And so all of a sudden, you know, we go, okay, well, have a good day. And we walk away. And that nuclear explosion, it just, there's nothing there because we didn't allow it to detonate. We suppressed the ignition. So don't do that. Allow the power. Have confidence in his. It's not you. Paul said it. It's not us. Nothing to do with us. And that we'll look at more of that when we're talking about the glory of the Lord and earthen vessels. And like I said, there's this whole flood of scriptures that shows that it's him in us. And so let's grab hold of that concept and develop our confidence of Christ in us doing the work. Let's pray. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you didn't leave us to be orphans. Thank you that you told your disciples to wait, and you don't want us going off without the empowerment and the ability of the Spirit of God within us as well. So my prayer is, Father, that we would all just recognize that it's your power in us, and we would say daily, Spirit of God, fill me afresh, fill me anew. Enable me to be the servant of your power. Enable me to just carry, to be the mechanism of that huge impact that you desire to make in people's lives and to deliver that impact to people, because I can go, I can walk through this earth, and you need me, Lord. You need each one of us to deliver that super abundant ability beyond all that we can ask or think. We pray this in Jesus' name. And Father, as we go